Why Your Tone Matters. Hello, I'm Malcolm Cox, and welcome to Tuesday Teaching Tips, episode 116. And today we're talking about our tone, the tone we use when we speak publicly. Why does it matter so much? This idea came to me from Steve Sramek. Am I pronouncing your surname correctly, Steve? I know you listen to these. Steve Sramek, who I've got to know over in the States. He runs the very helpful website, churchinmyarea.com. That's churchinmyarea, all one word, .com. I'll put the reference to that in the show notes. And he also sent me a very humorous clip, a video clip, on the issue of tone, which particularly husbands and wives will recognize as quite funny, but striking home at something very true. Our tone really does matter. I remember a few years ago now, my wife Penny said to me after I'd preached one day, "I don't like it when you shout." And of course I thought, well, I don't shout. I was perhaps talking a little bit loudly, but in her ears, the volume I was using and the tone, not just the volume, she was talking about the tone, because I asked her, what do you mean by that? What don't you like about it? And she said, well, it's when your voice goes high-pitched, it becomes a kind of, almost a little bit of a scream. And again, I asked her, well, why does that matter? Perhaps I'm just being passionate. I really believe in what I'm talking about. And she said, of course, that's fine. But the thing is, it doesn't sound like you. And I realized that, I don't think I was doing it deliberately, but I was employing a tone that's just not me. And at least for Penny, and perhaps for others, it wasn't helpful, because when she'd stopped identifying the message as coming from me, of course, then the message loses its authenticity, because it's not really coming from me. Now, here are some things to consider, a couple of thoughts from Scripture, and then some questions, and I'd like to know what you think. First of all, three T's to consider as to why tone really matters. The first is that an unhelpful tone can trigger past hurts. What was it like when you were shouted at as a child, as perhaps you might have been, not just once or twice, but regularly by a teacher, by someone who had some kind of authority over you, but perhaps by a parent or another relative? What was it like when you were shouted at? When we hear teachers and preachers shouting, it can trigger those past hurts. Perhaps you were lectured in a very stern way when you were young, and it made you feel very small. Scolded time and time again with a tone that conveyed not just disapproval of actions, but a disapproval of worth, of value. When we feel ourselves scorned by the tone of a teacher, of a preacher, again, it can make us feel small. And what does that really convey? I, the teacher and preacher, am big and important, and you, the person listening to me, are small and unimportant, and you must do what I say. The first problem with the wrong kind of tone is that it can trigger past hurts and bring them back into the present. The second T stands for tyrant. When we shout, when we lecture, when we harangue those who are listening to us, when we are overly loud and substitute confidence in our material for volume, then it sounds like we believe we are incontrovertible, that we cannot be wrong. It's really hard to argue with someone who's shouting at you, even if the only argument that's going on is in your head, because you can't get a word in edgeways with the person who is shouting at you. We sound like we can't be wrong, and you and I know, if you teach and preach regularly, we are. It is possible for us to be wrong, and we often are and have been. And indeed, it sets us up as somebody with a lot of pride. Why should I listen to someone teach about Jesus if they've got a lot of pride? Not a good situation in which to be. So the first T is triggering past hurts, the wrong tone. The wrong tone can make us sound like a tyrant. And the third problem is that the wrong tone means that our audience will tune out. T for tune out. When we're using a harsh or uncomfortable tone, the people who are listening feel as if we are against them, and we've set ourselves up in a battle with the people to whom we are speaking. And our audience will start to argue with us in their heads. Even if they were to agree with your point objectively and think that perhaps actually what you were saying was correct or reasonably correct, because of the tone, they're going to be arguing with you about every little detail of the words that you say, the examples you use, whether you've told the whole situation fairly or whether you've left something out. The audience is not going to give you the benefit of the doubt. As much as I would hope I as a speaker would give my audience the benefit of the doubt, I hope it's a kind of a compact between us that my audience will also give me the benefit of the doubt if I miss something out, leave something out, accidentally forget to mention something. But when we use a harsh tone, then we're never going to get that benefit of the doubt from our audience. Three T's to consider: triggering past hurts, becoming a tyrant, and tuning out. Let's have a look here at a couple of scriptures. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 2. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. This is a message of comfort to Jerusalem because their sins have been paid for. That's got to be overall the tone of every teacher and preacher in a Christian community, hasn't it? At least over the majority of the time. Because we're speaking to our members, at least, who have had their sins forgiven, and we're speaking perhaps to those who are visiting, who might one day have their sins forgiven, and helping them to anticipate the joy of the grace that is available. What about Matthew chapter 12, verses 18 to 21? Here is my servant whom I have chosen, the one I love, in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will proclaim justice to the nations. He will not quarrel or cry out. No one will hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out, till he has brought justice through to victory. In his name, the nations will put their hope. A wonderful description of the spirit in which Jesus came, with the spirit of God on him, not to quarrel or cry out. Of course, there is some hyperbole here. No one will hear his voice in the streets. Well, certainly people did hear Jesus speak. And yet the tone, I think, is implied here that a bruised reed he won't break, a smoldering wick he won't snuff out. There is a gentleness involved here, a kindness in his tone. In Colossians chapter 4, verses 4 to 6, Paul says, "Pray that I may proclaim it clearly," talking about the message of the gospel, "as I should. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone." The question that comes to my mind from that passage is this, that if someone was asked, someone who doesn't know the gospel, perhaps, but heard me speak and then was asked what words might describe how he spoke and about which he spoke, and perhaps the person listening might not have the words, and someone would say, "Well, do you feel that that was a message full of grace? Do you feel that what he said was seasoned with salt?" And if my listener could say yes, well, then I would be very pleased. I would be very glad. And it seems to me that's not going to be the case if I've been harsh, if I've been brutal in the way that I've spoken. Now, I know there'll be some objections to this perspective because some may say, well, the Old Testament prophets occasionally were somewhat harsh. Certainly the voice of Jesus must have been loud at times. Certainly he was stern with some people. Yes, of course. But not most of the time. And not to those who were hurting. And not to those who were eager to learn about the grace he had on offer. Jesus came full of grace and truth, but it doesn't say grace and harshness. The truth doesn't have to be harsh. The truth can be hard, it can be difficult to accept, but it does not have to be expressed in a harsh way for the message to come across. If the truth is the truth, and if the gospel has the power that it does, then all it needs to be done is for it to be presented clearly and with authenticity and with honesty and with a heart full of grace, and it will have its effect. So a couple of questions to finish with. One of the things somebody asked me once, may have been my wife, in fact, again, was whether in real life I speak in the same way that I preach and teach, perhaps not with the same volume, but do I communicate to people in conversation similarly in tone to the way that I communicate when I preach and teach? I certainly found it much easier in my early preaching days to preach judgment rather than grace. And perhaps that's the second question, is generally speaking, in your teaching and preaching, is your tone mostly one of grace rather than judgment? How do we know, and what do we do about this? Well, first of all, we need to listen to ourselves. Listen to your own recordings, watch your own videos, and ask yourself, if you were just sitting there listening, would you be able to hear what is being said, or would the tone get in the way? Ask other people, safe people who'll be kind to you, but ask other people how you come across. Without that kind of objectivity, we're never going to know. Somebody once said, "You shout so loud, I can't hear what you're saying." Let's not be people with a harsh tone, a lecturing tone, a hectoring tone. Instead, let's be people others would say as they listen that this is a person whose conversation and whose preaching and teaching is full of grace, seasoned with salt. Well, let me know your thoughts on this. What do you think about the significance of the tone with which we speak, and how can we use tone effectively in our teaching and preaching, and how can we get healthier in what we're doing? I'd love to know your thoughts. So please leave a comment in the comment box wherever you hear this recording, because I'd love to know, but also other people would love to know what other people are thinking, and we learn best when we learn in community. Pass the link to this on to someone who might find it useful. Like the podcast, if you don't mind. Subscribe to the podcast. Leave a review if you possibly could. That would be wonderful. And until the next time we see each other, I hope you have a terrific Tuesday and a wonderful week. God bless.